Each one of us decides in our own heart whether we will believe in God or which God, if any, we will believe in. I believe the events of this year reveal to us that to leave these matters of the heart undecided is not a good thing to do. Because then all of a sudden, we need to know. We need to decide. It's difficult to not prepare for a hurricane or a fire when you know it's coming. But be prepared and make a decision so that you may have an anchor in your life. And of course, I believe that God, our Heavenly Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, can be that anchor for you. But you must decide. We have an affirmation of our faith each week at Daleville Christian Church to remind us of what the anchor consists of, its weight. And this affirmation from Titus in the 3rd chapter. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of anything righteous we might have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. The reading for God's Word today is from the letter commonly referred to as the Ephesians. The apostle is writing to all of the churches in the region of Ephesus. As they would hear it read and pass it to all of the other congregations that they might too hear the apostle's words. And this from the 2nd chapter. He, that is Jesus, He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. Maybe you saw this in the news this week. The successful peaceful protest act was introduced in Congress a week ago Friday by a Hoosier congressman, Indiana Congressman Jim Banks. The successful peaceful protest act. This is a great idea, isn't it? Who would have thought of simply mandating and legalizing peaceful protests? Who wouldn't want this? But maybe it isn't that simple. Besides, in Indianapolis, the homicide rate is record-breaking. I did the math, and I'm sorry I did. Right now, Indianapolis has a homicide, on average, every other day. Every other day. We've had protests from both sides of the aisle in Indianapolis, but that isn't where the homicides happen. It's every other day. No protest or demonstrations necessary. Just death dealing on an almost daily basis. I just read that this last week in Seattle, there was a clash between police and reporters. Okay, I preached on love and acceptance last June. I guess it's just too hard for people to work on. Maybe loving one's neighbor is too big a goal. Let's just try for peace. Peace. Let's try living in peace with our neighbor. Peace is a good Bible word. And I might be responding to the sermons on the website. I preached on peace around Easter. It's had zero downloads. Despite the lack of peace, people won't even be reminded that peace is in the Bible. A lot. Peace is in the Bible a lot. Because I'm sure we understand that our God never intended for us to live like we are living. God never intended Americans to live like this, the way we're living today. God doesn't want anyone to have to live like this, whether you are heathen, pagan, Christian, Jew, or Muslim. One of the promises of the Bible is that there will be peace, is it not? The prophet Jeremiah, famous for declaring, "The prophets cry peace, peace, when there is no peace," said this, "Thus saith the Lord, I will hide my face from this city because of all its wickedness. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security." The prophet Isaiah declared, "The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest." Let me put this crudely for you. Even if we don't want peace, our God wants peace for us. If we intend that America continue to be the land of the free, we better do something about peace. Peace is necessary for freedom to mean anything. Otherwise, home of the brave means willing to risk gunfire when you go out to walk the dog. Maybe loving one's neighbor is too big a goal, at least right now. Let's just try for peace. Let's try living in peace with our neighbor. Peace is a good Bible word. So your pastor began by looking up the word peace in the Bible. I found something interesting. In the New International Version, that's our Pew Bible version, peace is mentioned 249 times. But the King James Version of the Bible, peace is mentioned 420 times. So if you would like to be a smart aleck in your next Bible discussion, just say, "Oh, I prefer the King James Version of the Bible because it's more peaceful." Then tell them you can prove it. You'll amaze your friends and confound your enemies. Your enemies? You remember your enemies. Those are the people you pray for all the time. Okay, peace is in the Bible hundreds of times, no matter what version you read and use. And please remember that I'm preaching about peace today, not because I believe in law and order. I preach about peace today because that's what God wants for you and me. God wants peace for you and me and others out there. If you're not sure about it, read the Bible. Exodus chapter 22. "Do not mistrust or oppress a foreigner, for you were foreigners in Egypt." Leviticus 19. "When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them." Leviticus 19:34. "The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Deuteronomy 10. He defends, that is God, defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And I get the impression that many Christians in America have not been noticing in their Bibles Deuteronomy 27:19. Cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow. Then all the people will say, Amen. That's in the Bible also. I do get the impression that God wants peace for his people. God's people and other people. But you are God's people and you are here today. Let's talk about peace. Not so much as a goal or a promise. Let's talk about the peace that you already have. Maybe you've not been giving much thought to the peace that you already have. Perhaps you've been taking the peace that you have for granted. So let's take a few moments, think on, remember the peace that you and I already have. You and I have peace with the Maker of heaven and earth. We celebrate this every Christmas. The words of the angels to the shepherds, Behold, I bring you tidings. I love that word. I bring you tidings of great joy that shall be for all people. I'm adding emphasis. Tidings of great joy which shall be for all people that today is born to you a Savior. What will this Jesus save us from? Simple. Jesus will save us from the wrath of God. So let me back up a moment. We need this Jesus, this Savior, because we have not been at peace with God, the Maker of heaven and earth, King of the universe. We need Jesus as Savior when we realize we haven't wanted God in our lives. We need Jesus as Savior when we realize we didn't want to do the right things with all the stuff God has given us. We didn't want to pray for our enemies. In fact, we wanted to physically and verbally abuse our enemies, and we took some pleasure in being able to abuse our enemies. We wanted other people to straighten up because we believed that we weren't doing anything wrong. That is why in our affirmation of faith, from Titus chapter 3, we say, At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasure. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. And why did we need God's mercy? Because our affirmation states, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, hating and being hated. So you see, if the Lord God, King of the universe, sees us living foolishly, disobediently, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, if we're indeed living in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another, something has to be done. That kind of life cannot go unpunished. And God will be the one to do it. God will give us all enough rope to hang ourselves. But our God is waiting for us to hear the angels sing, For you today is born a Savior, Jesus, whose name means He will save His people from their sins. Our lives can be turned around. God wants us to live in peace, not malice and envy and hate. It's clear that there is malice, envy, and hate in our capital city. You read there was a 7-year-old shot in a drive-by shooting in northern Indiana, in South Bend. I see the news out of our neighboring cities and out of the smaller outlying towns. Two guys abuse their wives and or girlfriend. And then two different women shot the men in their life. There was an Ohio State football player shot in the face in Columbus. He wasn't attending a protest, peaceful or otherwise. Friends, this isn't even pandemic news or hurricane news or California wildfires. This is an addition to all that. As I said crudely, our God wants peace for us whether we want it or not. And looking at the news, one has to wonder if we want peace or not. But God is giving us a chance for peace. God will not call us to pay for all this mayhem if we will receive the saving grace God offers in Jesus, Savior, Messiah. All of us here have made that claim to Jesus as our Savior. So you have peace with God. But peace with God does not mean that God will leave you alone. Not at all. Although it seems to me that for a lot of people in the Midwest, that's what peace is. Peace is when you leave people alone. No, peace is an active thing. God, through His Holy Spirit, is going to go with you. God is going to help you drop the malice, drop the envy, drop the hate. God's going to empower us to provide for the foreigner, the stranger, and pray for our enemies, even those who despitefully use us. In the great and wonderful short story, A Christmas Carol, Marley's ghost visits Ebenezer Scrooge with frightening effect. But the ghost tells Scrooge that Scrooge has a chance of escaping Marley's fate of torment, and Marley states that Scrooge will be visited by 3 ghosts. And Scrooge says, "I think I'd rather not have that." When the first ghost foretold appears to Scrooge, Scrooge asks the ghost's business, and the ghost replies, "Your welfare." And Scrooge argues that he appreciates it, but a night of unbroken rest would work better for Scrooge's welfare. The ghost quickly replies, "Your redemption, then. Your reclamation." Ever thought about the process of recycling? Some of us have to go through a process of recycling before we can be used again for better purposes than we used to put ourselves to in our old life. Peace comes through transformation. The end of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol states that Ebenezer Scrooge became as good a friend, as good an employer, and as good a man as the old city knew or any other old city, town, or borough. Yes, that story was fiction, although it's very well written. Are there real-life examples? Yes, there are. The Apostle Paul, as recorded in the book of Acts, he too was transformed. I've mentioned the following person before, but even I didn't know the rest of the story. Ken Parker, he was at the Charlottesville rally for the Unite the Right rally in 2017, wearing the uniform of the National Socialist Movement, a neo-Nazi group. You recall Charlottesville's where Heather Heyer, a counter-protester, was killed. Parker was shown kindness by a Muslim filmmaker who was at the event. Her behavior toward Parker made Parker question what he had been claiming to believe. Then a few months later, Parker was still weighing those doubts when he saw an African-American neighbor having a cookout near the pool of his apartment complex. And as the sun set and the crowd thinned, Parker and his then-girlfriend approached the man, William McKinnon III, a pastor at All Saints Holiness Church, a predominantly African-American congregation. Parker didn't know McKinnon was a pastor at first. He says he knew there was something different about him. They kept talking, then decided to meet up for more discussion. Soon after, McKinnon invited Parker to the church's Easter service. And on April 17, 2018, 6 years after he joined the Klan, and just 7 months after Charlottesville, Parker decided he'd had enough. A month after that, he stood before the mostly African-American congregation of his new church and testified, "I said I'd been a grand dragon of the KKK, and then the Klan wasn't hateful enough for me, so I decided to become a Nazi." The congregation received him warmly, and from there the transformation sped up. On July 21st, 2018, wearing a different kind of robe, Parker waded into the Atlantic Ocean, surrounded by members of that same church. McKinnon embraced him and then dipped him down in the water to baptize him in the name of Jesus. Jesus, the one who came to save people from their sins. There are other true stories. Former white supremacist T.M. Garrett also was shown kindness by a Muslim man. For 15 years, Garrett espoused hate, but now is telling people to show compassion and create an environment without hate. T.M. Garrett now speaks to churches and congregations to live in peace. Chris Buckley used to serve as an Imperial Nighthawk in the Ku Klux Klan's Georgia White Knights. Buckley, who is from Georgia, is also a veteran of Afghanistan and Iraq. Buckley was befriended by a foreigner back in the United States, a Syrian refugee in America. Chris Buckley now counsels others through a nonprofit organization. Let me tell you the name of that organization: Parents for Peace. Parents for Peace. Hear the prophet Jeremiah's promise: the fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Hear what the apostle said to the young pastor Timothy for his church in the second chapter of that first letter. "I urge then, first of all, petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people." And as I like to focus on, I urge then, first of all, prayer. Because that's what all of those are. Intercessions, thanksgivings, petitions, they're prayers. I urge then, first of all, prayer for all people. It goes on to say, "for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." This is good, it goes on to say. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Then verse 8, "I therefore want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing." This is what the apostle wants for you and me as followers of Jesus. Peace is possible. We can live in peace. Thanks be to God who gives us the opportunity. Thanks be to God for God's grace through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. Amen.